Hello, Mort. My name is Joe. My question is that I believe my wife is having a midlife crisis. Everything she's doing is by the textbook, and I saw in your program that it covers that, but I don't see how I need to change my approach to a deal with this, and I can tell you now everything I've done has been a total disaster. The second part of my question is that my wife had an emotional affair with a gay woman, and she's convinced that she hates men, and she now only wants women, but she's not sure. So she doesn't believe
it's
possible.
Wait, Joe, hold on. So this is not a second part to the question. This is a second question, and we've got a lot of people in line. I'm going to have to hold you to one question. You want me to deal with the midlife crisis question?
Okay. The reason I tied them together is I felt that, you know, they do have affairs, and I thought it was related, but maybe it isn't. So, yeah, I would like to take the first one.
Okay, very good. So it's an excellent question, one that I know a lot of you are dealing with, and it gives me a great opportunity to cover the topic. It's an important topic, and that is the topic of midlife crisis. So Joe mentioned that his wife's midlife crisis is, quote, textbook. An interesting phrase to use, and it gives me a perfect opportunity to lead into the most important point that I want to make about your spouse if they're dealing with a, quote, midlife crisis. This point will also explain why I keep putting midlife crisis in quotes. And that is that the first thing and most important thing to understand about a midlife crisis is that it doesn't exist. There is no textbook because there's no such thing as a midlife crisis. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that your wife or your husband is not going through something. I'm not saying that they haven't changed or they don't have questions or they're not plagued by problems. But it's important to understand that midlife crisis is a term that's made up by lay people. And in the professional community, it doesn't exist and it doesn't have any meaning. Now, of course, I know if you go online and search for midlife crisis, you'll find pages and pages and pages, and you can read until your heart is content. But 99.9% of what's written about it is written by laypeople, not by any competent professional, because, once again, it doesn't exist. If you went to a therapy session and you wanted to submit that therapy session to your insurance company and you were filling out a form to get reimbursement, and you looked for a diagnostic code for midlife crisis, you wouldn't find it. If you go to the website of the American Psychological Association, you will not find that term anywhere. Now, I'm not just philosophizing with you here. This is not just semantics. Let me explain why, from a practical perspective, if you're dealing with somebody who, quote, has a midlife crisis, what I'm telling you is important. You've got to stop using that term, and you've got to stop thinking in those terms, because midlife crisis, that term, if we were to begin to list all of the symptoms that people refer to and would put under the category of midlife crisis, it would take us days before we were finished making the list. In other words, it includes just about every emotional or psychological symptom that a person over the age of 35 years old could possibly have. And when you describe something using so many symptoms, you essentially remove its meaning. In other words, when I look at this picture frame and I say that it's brown, so I've excluded every other color, and you know what I'm looking at, the color that I'm looking at, it's brown. But if I say that, well, it's brown, but, you know, it also has black in it, and it has red in it, and I see yellow, and I see orange, and I see gray, I mean, I go on and on, the more colors I list, the less clear you are about what it is I have here, what it is that I am describing, to the point where if I keep going, my description becomes meaningless. I haven't said anything. That's the problem with the general understanding of midlife crisis, is that it includes such a tremendous list of symptoms that, and here's the practical point, that you rob your spouse of the uniqueness of what they are going through. I have no doubt that what Joe means when he says she's textbook is that some of the things he's read about midlife crisis are dead on describing his wife's experience. Forget the fact that I could print for him piles and piles and piles of articles that describe things that have nothing to do with his wife. But the problem is that the term midlife crisis includes all of those other things as well. So if I label my spouse midlife crisis, I'm putting him or her in this bucket with millions of people and a whole plethora of symptoms that don't really succinctly and accurately describe what he or she is going through. And I thereby rob her of the uniqueness of what she is going through. And that's not good, because that's the opposite of what you want to do. You want to tune into the uniqueness of what your spouse is going through. It, just a quick sort of tangent but related point. Very often, and Joe mentioned this, although his situation's a little different in the sense that his wife seems to be having an emotional affair with another woman. Okay, but the point remains, which is that why is it so common that the spouse who is being accused of having a midlife crisis is also very commonly having an affair? Why are those two so closely linked? Why are they so often correlated? The reason is because the mistress or the mister, they are tuning into the uniqueness of what your spouse is going through. They have not dumped them into this big bucket with millions of other people having a whole variety of symptoms. They've tuned into the uniqueness, and that's one of the reasons why they have connected to your spouse. So the first reason to stop thinking in these terms or using this term is that it robs your spouse of the uniqueness of what they're going through. The second reason is that it's derogatory. I mean, just listen to the term, midlife crisis. I mean, there's no question that if you're accusing your spouse or claiming that your spouse has a midlife crisis, you're basically saying there's something wrong with them, that they're sick, right? Now, the problem is that very often the person who is experiencing the midlife crisis isn't feeling like there's something wrong at all. In fact, on the contrary, they often feel like they're having an epiphany, that things have never been better or more clear. Talk about putting you and your spouse on different wavelengths. Talk about being on different planets. They're feeling like they have an epiphany. You're accusing them of being sick. It's not a recipe for reconciliation. Not at all. And once again, it ties into why there's a correlation between, quote, midlife crisis and affairs. Because the mistress or the mister is not viewing it as derogatory. They're really enjoying and appreciating the stage of life that your spouse is in. So it's really important to try to stop using the term and trying to really tune into the uniqueness of what they're experiencing. Try not to view it as derogatory, but instead to try to find whatever goodness there might be in it. Now, I am well aware that you are feeling like the victim to this, quote, midlife crisis. So find the goodness, you know, you're feeling like the victim. So it's not an easy thing to do, but you have to try to do it. You know, maybe your spouse is feeling like life is short and they want a little bit more fun and adventure. And very often, the Joe in the story is responding with, but wait a second, we have to be responsible, and we have to be level-headed, and we have children, and we have responsibility. Okay, that's true. That's true. But why can't you find the truth in what they're feeling and seeing? It's also true that life is short. It's also true that we should find adventure and excitement in different ways. Now, of course, what you want to try to do is help them find it in the context of their family life and their marriage. But that's why they're very often breaking away from the marriage and the family, because they feel that with you as their partner, they can't get that need met. So you're not only is the Joe in the story, I'm not accusing you, Joe, I don't know enough about your situation, but typically, not only is the Joe in the story not meeting the need, but they don't even see it as a need to be met. They see it as something's gone wrong here. They're miswired. They need fixing. They're in this crisis. The first step is to recognize that, wait a second, maybe there is something good and productive about the stage of life they're entering. Maybe there's something I can learn from it. Maybe there's some part of what they want out of life that we can share, that I can take an interest in.